Today's scripture comes from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, and should be printed behind me on the screen. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all, these things put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
We love being at Trinity. One of the things that happens when you're the RUF pastor is that you often get asked to preach this week, the last week of the year, that Sunday when pastors, right, they've got to work all the way up through Advent, super busy, crazy time of the year. They do the Christmas Eve service, try to be with their family for a while, and so end up preaching this week. Amy and I were laughing. I don't know how many, I've kind of lost track of how many of these end of the year, sort of first New Year resolution kind of sermons that I've done, and like Jerry said, I don't know that I have adequate words for this one in terms of just what a phenomenally crazy year it's been. But I think a simple look at Jesus, at what he has done for us in and through his life and death and resurrection, and then our response to that, it will be really helpful for me, for my heart, and for hopefully for you as well. Kids, a couple of things for you to listen for. First, two big words, the indicative and the imperative. Indicative and imperative, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about fish oil at some point and an Andrew Peterson concert. So if you know who he is, that's great. If not, I'll help you with that later. We're going to be in this passage in Colossians chapter 3. And I was reading here, we had some RUF training earlier in the month, and a pastor was teaching for us and kind of worked through parts of this passage. And I was really struck by these verses, Colossians 3, 15, 16, and 17. This passage talks about what new life in Christ looks like, what we're supposed to do as Christians, how we're supposed to live. And those three verses all mention thankfulness. It's mentioned three times in three verses. And if you're familiar, if you've been reading your Bible for a long time, you know that that's one way to tell that something significant is happening, right? If it's mentioned more than once, it's a big deal. And three times in three verses, that's a pretty high frequency. And so we need to pay attention. One mark of our life as Christians is thankfulness, ongoing gratitude. And that's been, I think, particularly hard this year for me. I imagine it's been true for you as well, as there has been so much loss and grief and sadness and change. Things have just not been the way we hoped, and it's been that way for a long time. And it feels like 2020 has been 5 or 6 years long. Ann Voskamp wrote a book called A Thousand Gifts, and it's excellent. It talks about a lot about gratitude and thankfulness, and in that she says, the practice of giving thanks, Eucharisteo, this is the way we practice the presence of God, stay present to his presence, and it's always a practice of the eyes. We don't have to change what we see, only the way we see. She's drawing a connection between our heart thankfulness, our gratitude, and the way that we see what's happening around us. And I think that's what's been particularly difficult for me this year. I am much more prone to complain and to frustration and despair longing, just a wish even, just to get to 2021 at the end of this next week, like everything's going to be fine. She's arguing that the way that we see our circumstances affects how thankful we are. Or that there is a way, maybe I should say it this way, there is a way to change how we see what's happening around us that draws us closer to Jesus, draws us into the presence of Christ himself. I want more of that. If I'm honest with you, that is my desire, even in the midst of frustration and challenge, difficulty, despair. I want to be drawn closer to Jesus' own heart. I want to have more gratitude and thankfulness for who he is and what he is doing, what he has done and what he is doing in the world around me. In order to do that, we need to see the root of thankfulness. Where does it come from? How do we grow in our thankfulness? And it's this, it's seeing what Christ has done for us. We're only able to do the things in the Bible that God asks of us, like be thankful, giving thanks in our hearts. Whatever you do, do in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're only able to do that because God has first worked. An imperative in the Bible, anywhere really, but in the Bible, an imperative is something that we should do, right? Maybe you'll tell your children to be honest, to be kind, to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are things that we are to do in the Bible. And there are never any naked imperatives in the scriptures. They never come by themselves. And they certainly never come with, if you do this, then God will love you. God will adopt you as his son or daughter. If you do this, then God will love you more. If you do that, right? Do you see? The imperative never precedes. It never comes by itself, and it never precedes an indicative. In the scriptures, the indicative, what is true of us, always precedes the imperative. And so if you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is roughly broken down this way. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 say who we are in Christ. All of the blessings that we have because of the finished work of Christ. And Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 then say, in light of who you are, in light of all that Jesus has accomplished for you, now go do these things. Right? The indicative always precedes the imperative. And that's certainly true in the book of Colossians. I'd encourage you, if you have some time, it's a short book, just 4 chapters. If you have a chance to go back and read through Colossians, you will see what is true of the Colossians that Paul is writing to, and by extension, what is true of us. Let me give you just a few examples. Chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God the Father has already qualified us. He has delivered us. He has transferred us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption. Verses 21 and 22. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, that is what was true of us, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. God has already reconciled us. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. In Christ, we have been made alive through faith. He has forgiven us all of our trespasses. He has canceled the record of debt against, that stood against us. Christ has accomplished all of these things in his life, in his perfect life that he lived on our behalf, in his passive obedience, in his dying as a substitute, as a sacrifice for us. All of these things Jesus has accomplished. As we see more often and more clearly what it is that Jesus has done for us, we are able to grow in our gratitude. Paul doesn't stop there. Even in our passage, if you look at chapter 3, in verse 4 of chapter 3, Paul says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So it's not just what Christ has done for us, but because of those things, even what Christ will do in the future is certain. When he appears, you also will appear with him. In verse 12, the start of our passage for today, Paul says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." That's talking about you and me. If you are in Christ, you are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Now, it can be hard for us to think about that. The Colossians talks a lot about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. And it can be easy for us to hear that this new self exists, but to feel like we just continue to live out of our old self. We have sins that we can't stop. We have patterns of relating to one another, of relating to God, and those sinful patterns, they feel like they own us. And that maybe at our best, when God looks at us, he forgives us, but we're still the old us, right? That we're just a forgiven old self. But what this passage tells us is that we are a new creation. We are completely new. We have died with Christ. We have been buried with him in baptism, and God has made us alive. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are a new creation. Now, there's still a struggle between the old self, but fundamentally, we are a new creation. We've been made new. All of these things are true of us. It may be that that you feel like that is not true of you, that you live out of the old self more often than the new self, but this passage is a reminder to us that it is true whether you feel it or not, regardless of your circumstances. God's work in your heart by his Spirit is to make you new. You may feel very far from God today. Maybe this stressful season, maybe the holidays on top of everything that's been so difficult makes it feel like God is millions of miles away from you. And yet, if you are in Christ, it is true of you that you are a new creation. We have so much to be thankful for. And it starts with that root, that we have been transformed, that our old selves are gone, that our new selves are already perfect in God's sight, even as we are being remade day after day after day, as Christ by his Spirit makes us look more like him. That's how Paul can say here, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If someone's already chosen and holy and beloved, it doesn't necessarily make sense that they would then have to put on more compassion, right? How could someone who's holy have to be more compassionate? And yet, that is the reality that is true of us. As God sees us, we have been made perfect in his sight, because we have been clothed with Christ, because we are a new creation, even as our sanctification is being worked out day after day. We are holy and still being made more holy. We can be thankful. We can have ongoing gratitude as we see God's work in us. As you wrestle, as you struggle with sin, it can be so easy to get defeated. Let me encourage you from this passage to see that you are a new creation, and that struggle is evidence that Christ is at work in your heart. As you struggle, as you fail, as you try again and over and over and over again, it is evidence that Jesus is present in your life. He is at work, and you can be thankful because he is at work. As we move on from the root of this thankfulness, we see now the connection between faith and gratitude. Our gratitude doesn't earn us anything from Christ. He's already accomplished everything for us. Remember, the imperative never precedes the indicative. Our gratitude is actually the fruit of our faith. Because of what Jesus has done for us, because we are new creations, because we are chosen, holy, and beloved, as we grow in our compassion, our kindness, our humility, as we do all of these things, accompanying all of that is thankfulness, is gratitude. This passage, if you start in verse 12, it shows you this list of things that will mark the life of a believer, one who has been transformed by Christ. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, putting on love, letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And thankfulness, gratitude, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God, doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. See, as we grow in our holiness, as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, as we grow in the ways that Christ wants us to grow to make us look more like him, one of the marks of that growth is gratitude. And it's a significant part, right? If you look at this list, it mentions thankfulness three times. And so we need to think about what is it that we can grow in here? How does that work in our hearts? Anne Voskamp, again, in A Thousand Gifts, says, "The whole of life, even the hard things, are made up of the minute parts. And if I miss the infinitesimals, I miss the whole. These are the new language lessons, and I live them out. There is a way to live the big of giving thanks in all things, and it is this, to give thanks in this one small thing, this one momentary small thing. And these moments add up." And so as we think about growing in our holiness in 2021, what is it that we want to set some goals in? Where do we want to see Christ work in our lives? One of the things that we can grow in is to be thankful in the small things, right? Take your biggest sin struggle. What is that sin pattern for you that's been such a struggle? Maybe it's overworking. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's a lack of self-control. There's a way to look at that from a macro, huge level and to be really discouraged. when we don't see growth, immediate change in those things. And yet, the way of the Christian life, the way that Ann Voskamp would suggest, would be for us to look at those small moments. This one moment that I am fighting this sin, to see maybe a small victory, even just the wrestling with that. That was something as a campus minister that we would talk with students a lot about in their growth in Christ, was that often the way to grow in Christ is to see more and more of your sin. And so you're actually moving down into deeper and deeper levels of sin. That's actually what growth looks like. It doesn't necessarily look like victory after victory after victory. Sometimes it looks like a growing awareness of the depths of our sin. And even growing in those moments are opportunities for us to exercise gratitude to God, because Christ is at work in our hearts. We don't earn anything by our gratitude, but our gratitude as a fruit of our trust in Christ actually changes our hearts. Remembering with thanks is what causes us to trust, to really believe. If we can see, this is the pattern in the Psalms. Think of Psalm 136, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And this is the refrain all the way through as the psalmist recounts God's deliverance of the Israelites out of the hand of Pharaoh, out of slavery in Egypt, as he brings them through the Red Sea, as he brings them to the promised land. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Recognizing God's faithfulness to us in the past, his persistent work, even in small, minute ways, can help us trust him in the future. So as we see these small moments where Christ is at work in our hearts, we give thanks for those things. Our thanks builds a bridge from the way that God has worked in the past into his future working in our hearts. We can have more and more trust that he is at work. Do you see how that cycle continues to grow? As we see Christ at work, we give thanks. And giving thanks actually encourages us, it emboldens us, it grows our trust that God will continue to work in that way in the future. Now, how do we practice this? I just want to take a couple of minutes to think about what does it mean to practice this. Brian Habig is a pastor in Greenville, South Carolina, and he did some teaching for us, and he talked about gratitude in this way. He says gratitude is like fish oil. Maybe some of you guys are familiar. Maybe you take fish oil. Fish oil is one of those things. It's like a wonder drug. It does everything, right? If you need better skin and better cardiovascular health and better joints, right? All of these things, you take fish oil, right? You can take it for everything. And gratitude is like fish oil. It is good for everything. Right? And so as we think about moving out of 2020 and setting some new patterns, thinking about 2021, what would it look like for us to take our fish oil, to take gratitude seriously? Let me give just a couple of suggestions. The first one is this: to root our thankfulness in traditions or rhythms, right? I think the Christmas season has been that for many of us, I would think, as a family gathers, even if it's a distance, as we see family again, those traditions matter to us and they begin to change us, right? Andrew Peterson, some of you may know him, he's a singer-songwriter out of Nashville, Tennessee, and 20-some years ago, 21 years ago maybe, wrote a Christmas album called Behold the Lamb of God. We've played some of the music here before the service starts the last few weeks, and if you've not seen it, it's an incredible, it's like the Jesus storybook Bible set to music. It tells the story from creation all the way to the birth of Jesus. And they do a concert at tours. Maybe you've seen it. I don't know. It's probably been to Dallas and places over the years. It's phenomenal. They do this concert that's Andrew, who's a great singer-songwriter, and three or four of his best friends who are also incredible musicians. They sing some for the first half of the concert. They take a break, and in the second half of the concert, they play the full album straight through from start to finish. And the musicianship is incredible, and the story's amazing, and the way that it crafts the birth of Jesus, the narrative of that is just incredible, and it really signifies in a lot of ways for me the start of Christmas. And it reminds me of so many things to be thankful for. Whether it's the musicianship and the brilliance of Andrew Peterson, who wrote this album, and the way that God has blessed it and used it, even in my own life, it is a phenomenal album. You can find the concert online and watch it. They recorded it at the Ryman, and you can live stream it for another week or so. It is phenomenal. But that moment for me is a trigger to be thankful. It's a reminder of God's kindness, of the beauty of the gospel, and it draws out in me overwhelming gratitude. And I'm sure you have similar traditions that evoke those similar feelings. I want to encourage you maybe to find smaller traditions, smaller rhythms, right? Brian has talked a lot over the years about a rule of life or spiritual formation of seeing in a micro level, maybe it's daily, maybe it's weekly, having these rhythms of being thankful. Ann Voskamp will suggest in that Thousand Gifts book to start journaling, even if it's just a couple of things that you're thankful for every day. Take a picture, if it's a sunrise, if it's a good grade from one of your children, if it's whatever it might be, to take a picture and to have an album in your camera roll on your phone of the things that you're thankful for. A way to sort of prime the pump for you to find the beauty of God in even the mundane things of life. Again, it's not changing what we see, it's changing the way we see it. Is there a way for you to take traditions or rhythms to form more gratitude, to see more clearly and more often the finished work of Christ on your behalf? A lot of books, a lot of writers that I looked at in terms of gratitude and thankfulness all talk about how hurry is actually a form of ingratitude. That as we rush from thing to thing, as we are driven, so driven that we can actually, it grows ingratitude in us. We don't stop to give thanks for things. And so the second idea here in terms of practicing thanksgiving would simply be to slow down, to find a moment where you're able to see and thank God for the work that he is doing in you, in your family, in the world around you. He is at work. And as he works, if we hurry, we miss it. And so maybe it's as you drive into your driveway after a day of work, which we used to do, that moment where you stop and you pray and give thanks, it changes your attitude as you walk into the house for dinner. Maybe it's the first few moments in the morning. Maybe it's the last few moments before you go to bed. Maybe it's on a walk, trying to find moments where you are able to slow down. Change the way you see your circumstances. Lean into all that God has done for you. Lastly, I think, and this may be the hardest one, would be this, to give thanks in the hard things, right? That this has been a year of hard things, and it's hard for us to be thankful in job loss and financial stress and family stress and despair and loneliness and all of those things. Brian Habig says this, I love this quote. He says, "Thank you, Jesus, for my friends. Thank you for my health. We're to thank you for everything. Thank you for my physical pains. which remind me that I'm not home. Thank you for when I feel overwhelmed and I'm trending towards despair. Not that despair is good, but thank you that that's when I feel how much I need you. Thank you for my enemies, because they're not right about everything, but they're probably onto something that I don't really want to see. Then he says, thank you for my dog, because they glorify you. Thank you for everything. And I just appreciate that in this year of so much difficulty, of so many challenges, that as we settle our hearts onto the finished work of Christ, as we are captivated by his glory, as we train our hearts to see him at work, even in the hard things, our gratitude will grow. And as our gratitude grows, our trust grows. And as our trust grows, our love for him grows. Colossians 3, verse 1 says this, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And that's my encouragement to you. As we close this year, as we say goodbye, good riddance maybe, that we would take some lessons from 2020 into 2021, that we would see that Christ has been at work, that he is still on his throne, that even in the uncertainties of 2021, we would rest and we would trust and we would be thankful. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we do thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for your love that you have set upon us, that you have lived the life that we couldn't, that you have died in our place. We thank you that you have accomplished everything for us, that you have brought us to yourself. Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts a deep gratitude for you, for all that you have done for us. Help us to slow down, to see where you are at work, even in our struggles, in our sadness, in our loneliness. Would you continue to meet us by your Spirit? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.